This is Brittany Owens, and I'm interviewing Mr. Willie Essick. We're in Albany, Georgia. Today is July the 27th, 2011. Okay, Mr. Essick, when and where were you born?
I was born in Arlington, Georgia. That's Calhoun County.
Calhoun County, okay.
June 16, 23.
Okay. All right, what did your parents do for a living?
My parents, back at that time, my mother mostly was a housewife. And my father, he farmed. He also hauled logs to the sawmill. He had a truck. He hauled logs to the sawmill. That's the way he made his living.
Okay. So he was he did the sawmill, the logging?
No, he just hauled logs to the sawmill. And I guess he had other fellas cut them. Load them, mm-hmm. But that's the way he made his living back at that time.
Okay.
That was in the 20s.
Okay. Do you remember much about your grandparents?
Yeah. My grandfather graduated from Mohawk College, 1902. And my grandmother graduated from Spelman, and they came south. They settled in Randolph County.
Okay. Where were your grandparents originally from?
My grandfather was from Hartwell, Georgia.
Okay.
I don't know what county that's in.
Well, that's right near Athens, and it's
below Athens.
Elbert County.
Hmm.
Okay. Hmm. All right. How many children did your parents have?
My parents or my grandparents?
Both. I mean, your grandparents first.
My grandfather had 5 children, all good.
Mm-hmm.
And my father had 7 children, 4 boys and 3 girls.
Okay, and were you the oldest or?
No, I was the third.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your parents farmed, like, what kind of land tenure did they have? Like, what kind of crops and such did they grow?
Back at that time, they mostly just had row crops, the cotton, corn, and peanuts.
Okay.
That's what they grew back at that time.
Of these crops, which do you think were the most lucrative?
Back at that time, I think people mostly looked to the cotton. That's where they mostly made their money back at that time.
Okay.
Now, I think peanuts picked up and proceeded, got ahead of that years after, but coming up, people mostly depended on their cotton.
Cotton was king.
Yeah.
All right. Did they own the land that they tenured?
No. My father rented land,
mm-hmm.
and farmed it. And he came out of the logging business, went into the farming business. And he finally put on the logging and stuff like that and just farmed. He rented land starting off. Later on, he got his own farm.
Do you remember around what year did he get his own farm?
Oh, it was in the 30s. It had to be around the 40s, I think. 40 something. 40.
What kind of farm was it?
It was just a clear land, about a one horse farm. Maybe about 20, 30 acres, something like that.
How many generations have lived on the farm? Are there people still living there on that land?
No. Yeah, not living on the land because we lived in town, but the farm was out
from
town. See? Okay. So the land is still there, but the land has been sold out of the estate.
Okay. All right. You say you lived in town?
Yeah.
Okay, can you describe the house you were raised in?
The house I raised in was a large house about, about 10 rooms or something like that. 8 or 10 room house, big house.
It was just y'all in the 10 room house?
Yeah, 7 in that family.
It's pretty big.
Yeah.
Was it made of brick?
No, this was a frame house, a wooden house.
Okay, what was the main economy in the community?
They had, one, two, three. They had 3 gins and 2 peanut mills there in that city.
Mm-hmm.
And they had 2 sawmills, I think. Yeah. Two sawmills.
So most of the people just worked in the mills?
No. A lot of people worked in the mills, but most of the people farmed or worked on the farm because it was a farm community.
Okay.
Small towns. Now they had mills, and we're talking about the late 20s or early 30s. Things began to change after President Roosevelt got in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had the WPA back at that time, and nobody hardly was working.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when the Roosevelt signed this bill to help people, a lot of people went to work with shovels. You would see them every morning. They mm-hmm. work all day, and they would dig ditches from one lake or creek to the other one. And their main purpose was getting rid of mosquitoes because they was bad back at that time. They dug those ditches out and water would drain and go from one area to the other, and that killed a lot of the mosquitoes. That was part of Roosevelt's project for that area. Now, he had other projects. I guess he had them all over the country
mm-hmm.
because I know in other areas they did different types of work.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm speaking of this area here, WPA. And a lot of people didn't have jobs. This is where they worked at.
Mm-hmm.
And after this, the peanut mill, they began to bring peanuts in. There's a lot of things open up after that WPA people began to work. But that was the start with those people working with those shows on the WPA, and that was sort of bringing them out of poverty. Because we talking about the Depression
mm-hmm.
back at that. You understand? That is just one of the projects that we had there that really helped the people in that area. Now, is another project came out from that. Civilian Conservation Corps. Now this came on a little later, but this was part of his project too, because when I was 16 years old, I went into the CC camp. Mm-hmm. And you had to be 16 to go in there. And I went in there for 6 months. Five of us from that city went in to the WPA, and we stayed. Well, I stayed 6 months. Some of them stayed later than that. Mm-hmm. But the government paid you, and that money went back to your parents if that's the way you wanted it. And it helped the families. And I recall that was five of us from this city that went. Mm-hmm. And we came to Albany and went on to Perry. That's where we spent our time at. Mm-hmm. In Perry, Georgia, they had two camps. Some fellas went to Folston. It was a CC camp at Folston, and it was one at Perry. We went to Perry. And I just stayed 6 months, and I went back and finished high school.
Okay. What did y'all do in
the
CC camp?
Well, you had different projects in the CC camp. They really made a man out of it if you could stay there. It's sort of like the army. You are assigned to different groups. You have platoons. You have you have different groups that you assign to. And each group have a particular job they do. Some plant trees, pine trees. Some clear pastures to plant grass. Mm-hmm. Some set out trees. It's different things. But the group I was with, we cleared pastures for the farmers to plant grass for their cattle. Mm-hmm. And we would saw those trees down close to the ground with a cross-cut saw. No power saws at that time. We talking about 41, 42. And then you had a long thing. You had to pick them logs up and carry them. One man on one end, one on the other. Pile them and burn them. And it was airy with just so many feet square. And after you do that, they would plant grass in there. Different people had different jobs. My job, the group I was with, mm-hmm. we cleared the pastures. There were other groups that did different things, because what you were talking about, you talk about a company with a lot of men. That was one of Roosevelt's projects that he inducted, just like the WPA, mm-hmm. you know, that was one. Well, he helped a lot of people back at that time, but I'm just trying to explain to you, you know, what happened.
Okay.
And it helped a lot of families.
I see. That's the first I heard of the
CC camp.
CC camp.
CC, what it was. And a young man.
Conservation camp.
Silver Conservation Camp. That's really the name. Civilian Conservation Camp.
Okay.
That's the name of it. Civilian Conservation Camp. And they were all young men.
Okay.
Now that was just one of the projects that he had exposed. A lot of other things he did too.
Okay. Well, how did you told me that your father hauled the logs to the mill?
Yeah, that was back way back there in the early, late 20s or early, I say the late 20s.
Okay.
That's how he bought his property and got started back then. That's before he was born, you know. But I have a knowledge of how he got started.
Okay.
And he first bought was 19, bought that place in 1911, built his first house in 1917.
So that was the house y'all was raised in? So he built that in 1917. What did your grandparents do for a living?
My grandfather, as I told you before, finished college at Mohouse.
Mm-hmm.
His wife finished at Spelman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was a preacher. And he taught school for a number of years. He also preached. Now, he was an educator. And he also had a farm in Randolph County. And that farm is still in the family.
Okay. So this is your maternal grandfather?
That's my mother's father.
Okay.
The one I was telling you had five
girls.
Mm-hmm. No boys, five girls.
Did your mother have a home garden?
Now, what do you mean home garden? Now?
You know, like just a garden where y'all went and y'all like maybe had vegetables, like a vegetable garden?
Yes, we always had a garden.
Okay.
We always had cattle. We always had hogs. We always had stock. And let me explain to you. Back at that time, that's the way people lived. They raised their own hogs. They raised their own cattle. They milked, if they had goats or whatever they had, but we mostly went with cow, hogs, and a mule or a horse or something like that to pull the wagon.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way people farmed back at that time. Now, as far as buying a car or something like that, they just wasn't around. They was around at that time, but they didn't use them. They mostly used buggies and one-horse wagons or two-horse wagons. That's the way they got around. Dirt roads.
No pavement?
Not at that time. The pavement didn't come till the early 40s or late 30s. Somewhere along there.
Okay. Do you know who your father bought the land from?
Who he bought it from?
Yes, sir.
No, I can look at the records and find out.
Okay. You say your father, he rented land and saved up until he was able to buy his own?
No. He rented land to farm on, but he had his own house and place right there in town.
Mm-hmm.
But there was land that you could rent and farm.
Okay.
Raise your peanuts, cotton, or what have you.
Okay.
For years, people would rent land.
Okay.
Now, that's not going to be confused with people who sharecrop.
Oh, no confusion at all.
Uh-huh.
No confusion at all.
But he rented his land. And when he rented his land, he had to pay for that land at the end of the year or whatever was on those agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And if he didn't pay for them, he had some kind of, in other words, he had to pay interest or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a note. He had to pay that at the end of the year. But I recall that he rented. I think it was around 50 acres or something like that. I don't know. No, it wasn't 50. Anyway, I know he rented land for good while. Farmed it. Cotton, corn, peanuts. Mm-hmm. Now the land he had in town there, that's where he had his garden. You were speaking of a garden. Mm-hmm. We always had a garden. Mm-hmm. We always had enough on the farm to use a garden now, such as raising watermelons or cucumbers or other things mm-hmm. on the farm. But that was the way that he got away from the sawmills and went into the farm business. Mm-hmm. He was a farmer later. He left the sawmills and stuff and began to work on his own, independent.
Okay. What do you think allowed your father to be so successful during a difficult time?
Work, honest work, and doing the right thing. He didn't have problems. He knew how to get along with people. A lot of people didn't make it. I'm speaking from a childhood. We had neighbors, a lot of people. I knew that worked the same sawmills he worked. And they came up, they had children, but a lot of them just didn't make good judgment. I don't guess. Some of them threw the money away. Some of them got into trouble. Some of them just went the wrong way. Mm-hmm. They did not. A lot of them just didn't have a Christian attitude. I watched that coming up as a child, mm-hmm. and I'm talking about the time I started school, 29, 30s. You learn a lot from other children and from your surrounding. Mm-hmm. And I watched my father change over from the mill to farming. And that's something we had to do. We had to work on the farm. Mm-hmm. And that's where we got our bread and butter, our food, mm-hmm. or what have you.
Okay.
That's the way to do it. Up until I decided I wanted to go into the CC camp. And at the age of 16, I asked them because I couldn't go. Unless they, allowed me to.
Okay.
And I thought it would help my parents, which it did. Money I got, I just sent back to them.
Okay.
About $36 a month.
That was a pretty...
I think that's what it... Wait a minute. That was a leader's pay. That was a leader's pay. Might have been 26. 26 to 36, something like that. I don't, it's been so long now. But I know it helped the family.
That's all that matters. Excuse me. So, did you help your father manage the farm?
No, I just worked there. I didn't know how to manage that. I worked there, I applied. Whatever I was told to do, that's what I did.
Did your family need regular credit for seed or fertilizer or other kind of machinery to run the farm?
Yeah.
Okay, how did they work out the loans?
My father worked it out. Now, that is something that he taken care of, but I do know this, that certain times of the year he had a place he would go and get his fertilizer, and he had places he'd go and get credit for stuff that he needed. And he would pay for it, when he got his first bale of cotton or ton of peanuts, that's how he paid for it. He had people that he went to and got credit.
Okay.
And a lot of people back at that time, that's what they did. It depends on how how well they was known or what kind of credit they had, because everybody wasn't able to do that. So I guess one of the things that he set up, he owned his own place, mm-hmm. and he had to put up that to, against what he was getting. He didn't pay it back. They were level against it.
Okay, I understand now.
He owned his house and his place, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, I think the same thing goes on today, only the day it's through banks, mm-hmm. you know.
Like a lien out against the house.
Yeah. But back at that time, we talking about back where people had stores, businesses, and they would just sign a note, signing their property over to them. And that is one of the reasons that a lot of blacks back in those times lost their places, because you had a lot of crooks too back there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those people didn't know how to read or do anything to help themselves, and it was taken away from them. And in a way of speaking, the same thing is happening today, because a lot of people, they don't want to go to school, they don't want to learn nothing.
They just sign what they say, give me some.
And it is bad, but we're still behind, way behind. Education and religion, if you don't have them, you have a problem.
You're right.
You have a problem. Now, I say that because the way I came up and what I've seen, and I'm just not just talking to about today, but I also look at my military career and what happened during the I worked in a defense plant back in the 43. I worked in New Britain, Connecticut. Mm-hmm. That was first job I got in defense plant. Mm-hmm. And a lot of segregation even there. And a lot of problems even in the North. That's why I said you just have to have the right guidance to get you through the mm-hmm. thing.
You're right about that. I know you said there were some crooks out there. Did your father experience any difficulties related to credit?
Not to my knowledge. My father was very careful about who he dealt with. Mm-hmm. And he always taught us certain people you just don't deal with, period.
Okay. I respect that. Did your family ever take on renters or sharecroppers or wage laborers?
No.
Mm-hmm. Did your mother ever work on the farm?
No. My mother mostly stayed at home. My mother, she taught school early, but she mostly worked with those people that that couldn't read and write, that had that wanted to, well, let me put it this way. They had a program back in the 30s that people couldn't read and write. They would had a program where they would start them. They could come late in the afternoon after they got off work. And my mother was one of the teachers that taught. They must have been about an hour. So,
Like a night school?
Yeah, it was night, but it was about for about an hour after people got off work, they would go to this school. Mm-hmm. It was a public school they would go to, and they would you know, start having their classes there. Mm-hmm. Now that's the only work that she did other than the housework and but getting back to the garden you were speaking of, we had a garden right there in the town, you know. Then we had a farm, we could raise stuff out there, okay. All type of things. And we mostly raised everything we needed, mm-hmm. on the farm.
Okay. That's better. It's healthier for you, so you don't have all that pesticides and all them hormones and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's good. Better
well,
for you.
A lot of people had that opportunity. A lot of people did that. A lot of farmers did that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way they, you know, they raised their whole family that way. Those that were smart enough to work, but a lot of people didn't work. They go to town and buy their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have the money. I mean, they had a choice. They could raise it on the farm, or they could go to town and buy it. And a lot of those that went to town and buy it, they would go sometime every week and buy it. Because they had the credit, and they would pay for it at the end of the season or share crop. They had a person that would stand for it,
mm-hmm.
and they paid for it, you know, when they got it. Sometimes they didn't come out that well. They lost everything they had. That's just the way, it was a gamble. They had a choice, you see. But you had all type of farmers back at that time, people doing, you know, what they wanted to do. And a lot of people back at that time, they didn't raise no hogs or cows or nothing. They just bought this stuff. And I guess they did that because they had to move. A lot of them moved every year from one place to the other one. But those that own the land or try to buy the land, they raise their stuff.
Okay. It seemed like the easier route. You say your father, he just managed the farm. Did he plow the mule or something?
Yeah, he did all of it.
Okay.
Until we was up large enough to do it. And then we had to jump in there and, you know, do it.
Okay. How did your mother and father make decisions? Did they make them together?
Most of the decisions was made by my father. He's the head of the house. That's the way we were brought up.
Okay. Did they ever have contracts or loans or any dealing with government agencies?
Not to my knowledge. Now, my father might have had some, but I don't recall any. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what kind of work did you and your brothers and sisters do on the farm?
Same thing, peanuts. Shaking peanuts, picking cotton, and when we was large enough, we would work for other farmers. You see, you could pick cotton or shake peanuts for somebody else. Their school started. Now, when school started, we had to stop. We had to go to school. That's one thing my parents were strict about. When school opened up, whatever you was doing, you stopped, and you had to go to school.
So, how old were y'all when y'all started, like, first working on the farm?
As long as you were old enough or able to pick up a peanut or pick cotton.
So, about 8?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. You were big enough to?
8 or 9, somewhere along there.
Oh, okay.
And you start out with the small tasks, when you own a farm. It may be going getting greens or picking beans or peas. A lot of times we planted peas between the corn, and you go out there and you pick them. And you had peas, or you had butter beans. You also had corn, you know, rochinelles, we call them.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get up, you know, and learn how to pick your rochinelles, pick peas. So I couldn't give you an age because that's something you grew up with.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
And having other brothers and sisters, the oldest one would take you along and teach you. Then there's your cattle, your hogs, and so forth. And all kind of shows on the farm. And you learn. And when you learn, you learn to perform.
Mm-hmm. Did your family leave the farm?
No.
Okay. Does your family still own the land? You say they have land in Randolph County?
Yeah. That was my grandfather.
Okay.
My mother's father had land.
Okay. Okay, you said, I remember, well, education was really big in your family.
And religion.
And religion. Okay, what value did your parents put on education?
Number one. I said number one because when school start, we all had to stop what we was doing and start the school. Mm-hmm. You working for somebody else, or we was working at home on our own farm. If school started Monday, we would try to have everything, the cotton or the pecan or peanuts, out the way and start the school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we was working for somebody else, we would have to stop. We couldn't go back to them. We had to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm trying to tell you that education was very important in my parents.
Mm-hmm. I can tell because you say your grandparents graduated.
Yeah.
From Morehouse and Spelman.
Yeah, my grandfather. Yeah. Uh-huh. And we had to follow that pattern. They was my parents and my grandfather. They believed in education.
That's good.
And they believe in religion.
Did all your brothers and sisters get the same education?
Yeah.
What did they, all of them went to college?
All they wanted to go.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
What was the school like that you attended?
The school I attended was high school, Arlington Vocational High School. That was the name of it. And, they had, you noticed the vocational.
Mm-hmm.
We had a principal from Savannah State College, finished at Savannah State College. His name was Robert Young.
Mm-hmm.
And we had another professor from there. His name was Brazant. They both was graduates of Savannah State, and he began to teach us in ag, not only ag, but other vocational studies, like we had a farm shop, a place where you could go and put things together. Tools together for your farm. We also had in that farm shop, we was taught, there's a lot of things you was taught that comes on a vocational studies. One of them is this. The pine trees we get, we have. When I was attending school way back there, we would go and get those pine cones and get the seeds out of them and plant them.
Mm-hmm.
And then get this little seedlings and set them out on people's farms.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the things. And you see these trees here?
Yes, sir.
When I bought this place, I went to the farm. Forestry,
mm-hmm.
and put in for so much, and I had them set out all around here.
Mm.
Now, back at that time, you could plant your own, because we would plant them there in school,
mm-hmm.
and we would take them to people's farms and put them out. That was way back there. But this is the trees you see around here is part of my teaching from that.
So, CC. You didn't plant trees, you just cleared the pastures.
Yeah, I cleared pastures.
You say you got that from your vocational training.
Yeah, what I'm talking about now, I got it from my vocational training.
Okay.
Seeds, that was just one thing. You had different projects under the vocational.
Mm-hmm.
One year I would raise chickens. One year I had a cow. One year I had peas.
Mm-hmm.
And one year I had vegetables. When you coming up on the vocational school, you had to have a project. And that in that project, that was part of your grade. If you didn't do it,
you didn't pass.
You didn't pass. And I remember 2 years in a row I had chickens. It was a brooder, you had to see by them and all. But I like that profession, and that's what I did. You choose what you want to do.
Oh, okay.
You can have a cattle if you want. And it's the same thing today. I think they have those projects going on today in these schools, farm schools.
Okay. Did your parents have to pay for tuition or books?
Yeah. Back I think that when I started the school, that was the last year they had to pay tuition.
Okay.
I don't recall all that because I remember my sister telling me my first year, she said, "You can't go to school Monday." And I was just shocked because I wanted to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
Why I can't go? You all go. She said, "Daddy hadn't paid your tuition yet, but somehow he paid it because I went to school."
Mm-hmm.
But I remember her telling me that, and that was the last year they had tuition. And the next year, the schoolhouse burnt down.
Do they know how it burned down?
I don't know.
Was Arlington Vocational High School, was it an all-black school?
No, now don't get that mixed up with all the vocational.
Mm-hmm.
When I started, it wasn't no vocational high school.
Oh, okay.
This was a school set aside where all black children went, and they got, this was around 30, somewhere along in there.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we had a red building, 3 classrooms,
mm-hmm.
and I went to that school that year, my first year in school. I went to that school, and we was out for the summer, and we went back. That school had burnt down. It was a red building. Was high up off the ground. The street behind that school was all white. Except one black lived on that street. And the street where the school was, it was 2 or 3 blacks lived on that street. But you had two churches, a Baptist, Freeway Baptist, and Missionary Baptist on that street. But that street, that school burnt down. So we moved to the church right down the street. And that's where we start having class, in that church. And the next year, they built a school down below there called Arlington Vocational High School. Mm-hmm. And that's where that came in. Mm-hmm. After this.
The first one burnt down. Okay. I'm sorry to hear that.
A whole lot happened back at those days.
I can only imagine. Mm-hmm. What difference did an education make when you were coming up?
What difference did it make? It made a big difference. It's sort of hard to explain this because when I finished high school, I wanted to go to trade school. And there was no trade school I knew of in Georgia that, you know, I could attend. Albany State didn't have a trade. Savannah State didn't have a trade. They weren't teaching trade. The only schools that I had studied, was interested in, was Hampton Institute, Florida A&M, and Tuskegee Institute. Mm-hmm. Because I really wanted welding at that time. And I couldn't, my parents weren't able to send me to none of those out-of-state schools. So I just gave up on it. And I went around town there. And my parents told me, I need to go to school. And I came over here to Albany State. I didn't want to go to Albany State. They didn't have nothing. And I stayed at Albany State about 3 weeks, and a friend came up to me and told me, about a program at Jessup, Georgia that taught trades. And that's where I just moved. And I left and went to Jessup. And when I got there, I found that they had machinists, sheet mill, welding, mechanics, and you could take your pick.
So you finally found your welder trade, okay.
And I just went from there. I stayed there, but I didn't go into welding. I went into machinery. Mm-hmm. And I left there, and I went to Connecticut, and I started working in Connecticut. At New Britain, Connecticut, I started working with Landers, Farron, and Clark. Landers, Farron, and Clark, a machine company, and that's where I started working. Landers, Farron, and Clark, that was my first job, and I worked there until I was drafted. Well, just before I was drafted, I was already registered. But after I was drafted, I came home and then I went back and was inducted at Fort Devens, Massachusetts.
Okay.
And that was back in 43, August 43 when I went in service.
When you came back home, did your community change or did you notice changes in your community?
Yeah, it was some changes.
Like what kind?
Well, what type of changes you were referring to now? We said when I came back from the Army?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, now, when I came back from the Army, there was meals that was running, doing more work and better work, because that was the type of work was going on around there other than farm work.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you talking about, I came out in 46, April, yeah, 46, somewhere, yeah, that's when I came out, 46.
What role did your family play in the community?
What role?
Mm-hmm, as far as church, any fraternal organizations?
Yes, church. Most of the church wasn't. Well, they was affiliated with, you know, PTA and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm,
because so. I had siblings behind me that they went to. They would attend teachers, was it PTA and church meetings and stuff like that.
Okay. So that made sure that was active in your education?
Yeah.
Okay. You said your grandfather was a preacher? Did y'all attend his church?
Yeah, we was a member.
Okay. What about the NAACP?
That came in existence later. Not before I went in the Army, but that was in existence when I came out of service.
Okay. Any fraternal organizations like the Freemasons or anything like that?
Yeah. When you ask that question, what are you talking about?
The Masons, the fraternal organizations, and the Eastern Stars. Yeah. Was your family had any affiliation with them?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Did your grandparents or parents vote?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no. Let me go back. No. Because you had a problem, I think, voting over there. We couldn't vote back at that time.
Okay. What about you? Did you vote before the Civil Rights Movement?
No. I never did vote in Ireland. I vote after I came over here.
Okay.
Let me see. When did I start? Yeah. When I came over here, I started voting. And started serving on jury duty too over here.
Okay. Do you remember any black political figures in your community before the Civil Rights Movement?
No.
What role did your family and other landowners in your community play in the Civil Rights Movement?
I can't tell you. Because when I came out of service in 46, I went to Tuskegee, and then I went to Washington, D.C., and I did not return to Calhoun County. When I came back, I bought in this county and started serving in this county, start voting in this county. But understand me now. My main purpose was to sell either here or in another city. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I decided to sell here, and we bought that little small house down there in 1955. Evan, do you remember what year we purchased that house down there? Was it 55 or? Oh, earlier than that. I believe it was 55.
Okay. Can you describe your family's relationship with white people in the area when you were in Arlington and coming up and helping your father on the farm?
Repeat that now.
Can you describe your family's relationship with white people in the area?
Well, we got along with them.
Okay. Was your family close to any particular white people?
I don't know what you're talking about, close now. It was a segregated town.
So there was no socializing?
What do you mean socializing?
Like, did y'all have, like, barbecues, or did y'all play baseball together?
No. We had ball games, but the black had a place where they had ball games, and church barbecues or what have you. I don't recall any socializing along that line. There might have been some that took place I don't know about.
Did your parents or grandparents ever attend white churches?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Did your family and white neighbors participate in death watches for each other?
Not to my knowledge.
Did your family and white neighbors help each other during times of illness or injury?
What are you talking about?
No, just in case. I know some instances, as far as being a neighbor, like if I injured myself and I was unable to perform certain duties on the farm, mm-hmm. as a neighbor, I would go and help this man.
Yeah.
Regardless of, you know.
In some instances, they did that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think owning your own land exposed your family to additional risk of violence or humiliation?
Repeat.
Do you think, because, you know, your father, he was very successful. He had a, you know, timber mm-hmm. room out in mm-hmm. town. Mm-hmm. He had his own farmland. Do you think, you know, that him being a black man and being that successful at that time, mm-hmm. do you think it exposed him to additional risk?
To some degree, yeah.
Do you remember any instances where he may have been threatened or no?
No.
Okay. No. Were there white people in the area who made life hard for you?
Not to my knowledge. They, we got along pretty well. Now, let me say something here.
Okay.
Many times, you carry yourself in the right manner and do what's right. You don't have no trouble with those people. But you do the wrong thing and say the wrong thing, you create a problem for your own self. So I coming up, my parents trained me to respect all the people. Respect those that elderly people and those that have the rule over you. And you're going to find some rats out there regardless.
You're right.
But you have to learn to get along and get away from them. even in service, though, that's one of the things you have to watch in service. So, I'm just trying to answer your question best I can.
Okay, you did, you did. How did poor white people treat you?
I know a lot of poor white people, but I never had no problem with them. Mm-hmm. Now, don't misunderstand me as far as having to run in or something like that, because we didn't do that much of socializing, you know. We meet, we speak, we go and take care of our own business, but as far as being on your porch and in your house and doing this, and that's just something we didn't do. So I never had no problem with them.
What about white city folk? How did they treat you?
City folks.
Mm-hmm. Like people from maybe Albany or Atlanta, or even maybe people who came down here for some odd reason, yeah. From other cities.
No, nothing unusual. Mm-hmm.
Do you know of any landowners who were lynched or murdered by white people? Have you heard stories of that?
Yeah.
Do you know any details of the incidents, or you wish not to go there?
A lot of things did happen back in those days. I wouldn't care to collaborate on those.
Okay. Do you think your family's experience was different from that of white landowners?
What are you referring to now? You said my parents.
You know, your parents, you know, they were pretty successful black landowners. Do you think that was, you know, the case? Do you think that your landowning experience was different from that of a white person during that time?
Let me take you back now. You coming in here. My grandfather owned land in a different county. Mm-hmm. And my father owned land in this county. Mm-hmm. Now, you had people in different counties was over this property. People in that county was over that property. Mm-hmm. Now, in some instance, they're going to be treated differently because of who is in the county seat. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to answer that question straight out, because I know too many people that was not treated right and had problems. Why they had those problems, I don't know. Okay. So I'm not going down that road. I have to go with what I know. And, you know, some people, but they had problems. Okay. Blacks had problems. Blacks went off and left their farms. Some of the farm was taken, and it's something that I would not get into, because I don't, you know all the details.
Okay. How was your family's experience different from that of a black tenant? You said some people were, you know, sharecroppers.
Uh-huh.
How do you think your family's experience was different from that?
A sharecropper?
Yes, sir. Tenant farmer.
Yeah, well, a sharecropper was one that, to my idea, he farmed on shares. The man furnished him everything. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the year, he would get a portion of what he made from the cotton or corn or peanuts, whatever he had. But the owner had the upper hand because he had furnished them all the year. Mm-hmm. Had furnished them peanut, food and place to stay, all that. So, and many times, the person that did the that was sharecropping was not educated or didn't have the ability to know what was going on. Mm-hmm. And many good farmers just lost their property. And the law, and the law was mostly white. They made all the laws. They took the advantage of blacks back in those days. And because I remember, you know, I worked for a person. When I was my last year of high school, I used to wait express. Train come in, I would wait that train in the morning. And another fella was ran the express office. We would work together. And the last year, I told this fella I was working with, I told him I wouldn't be able to work anymore after that week. And he was telling me, he said, "Well, no, you don't have to do that. You can stay here and work with me, you know." Mm-hmm. And I told him, "No, I can't do that because my daddy told me I had to be in school Monday." He said, "Well, you come back and work in the afternoon after school." But he wanted me to stay there and work. And I'm saying this because many blacks didn't have the support I had. They owed that man, the children had to go and work, mm-hmm. or what have you. Mm-hmm. And my dad always kept us free. We had to do what he said to. Mm-hmm. That's the way we were brought up. But I went and I still work for him in the afternoon.
But you made sure you went to school.
Yeah, I had to go to school. And I looked at, he had two children. They was older than I was. But his children went to school. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I know them just as good. They was a little older than I was. He had a boy and a girl.
Wanted somebody else's kids to work, but he
was good.
Okay.
But that was the trend.
Yeah,
that
I
was
know.
The trend all the way through, all of them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, do you remember your father or grandfather talking about World War One, or how did either of them serve in World
War
One?
No. My father didn't go to World War One. And my grandfather, he wasn't in World War One. I had three brothers. Two of them was in World War One or Two, and one was in the Korean War.
Did you hear about your family talk about the boll weevil and the infestation of the boll weevil? Mm-hmm. How did that affect the farm?
It had quite an effect upon the farm way back there. A lot of things I don't remember, but I know it did a lot of damage to the cotton crop, mm-hmm. back at that time until they got some help there about killing those boll weevils.
Did you get help from the GI Bill after you returned from the Army?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Did your family receive aid from the government in the New Deal?
What do you mean by New Deal?
You know, all the programs President Roosevelt was had out in the time, like, you know, the CCC. Well, you know, they had, during the New Deal, they had programs that were supposed to help farmers. And I was wondering, did your family get any of that help?
I don't know, because that's something my father would take care.
Okay.
As far as the farm was concerned. Okay. So, and he rented his land.
Okay.
And if he got help on that, he signed for it, and it was done according to the whatever the agreement was. I do remember this, that a lot of farmers, one year, they planted too much cotton, and they had to plow up a certain amount of that cotton.
Okay, so that's right. Did your family participate in crop control programs for cotton or tobacco, you say?
Yeah, because he had so much he had to plant. We didn't plant tobacco. But he was governor how many acres you could plant or how much he participated in that.
How did you find out about these programs?
Through education. We Arlington Vocational High School, you would be taught in this school what you can and what you cannot do.
Okay. The crop control program, did your family ever, you know, get money from the government not to produce a certain crop?
Not to my knowledge. They might have did, but I don't recall.
Okay.
I don't recall that.
Did your family participate in elections for the AAA, the Agriculture Adjustment Administration?
No, I don't recall.
Did you have access to the Extension Service?
Big partner?
The County Extension Services. Did y'all have access to that?
County Extension. What was that?
The Extension Office, where they help, you know, educate farmers. Okay. Did you participate in 4-H as a child or a teenager?
Yeah, 4-H. Mm-hmm. 4-H. Wait a minute. 4-H. No.
Okay. Is your family own farm equipment?
Yeah.
Do you remember what the first machinery purchase was?
No.
Okay. Did you or any women in your family join home demonstration clubs?
No.
Okay. Did your neighbors or other landowners you knew buy equipment and use weed killers and other chemicals on their farm?
Not to my knowledge.
Did your family ever purchase a car? Okay. What about a stove?
Purchase? You mean go buy a stove?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they bought a stove.
Do you remember what year? Okay. What about electricity, the phone and radio?
They had a radio, and later years, they got a phone,
okay. But
I don't know what year. Mm-hmm.
How did your parents spend their money? How did they enter, like, the consumer culture? Like, was it just needs only, or did you have some money to, you know?
What money are you talking about now?
Oh, the money that their income.
They didn't have no income. as far as I know, the money they got it from me or from the other sons and daughters.
Okay.
They didn't have no money coming in. Unless he made some money from cotton or something on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yes, sir. Did y'all buy or make clothes?
Both. Okay. Made clothes, and then we would buy clothes coming up.
Okay. These are my last questions. What did landowner mean to your family? Did it instill any values, skills, or attitudes that have been passed down on over the generations?
Will you repeat that?
Yes, sir. Did landowning instill any values, skills, or attitudes that have been passed on over the generations? Because, from what I gather from this conversation, it seems as if it put a good work ethic and just an honest day's work for an honest day's pay.
Mm-hmm. Some of these things that you were asking me, now I like to answer that in more than one way. Repeat that in syllable. Mm-hmm. Farm.
Did land owning instill any values?
All right, land owning.
Mm-hmm.
Did it do what now?
Instill any values.
Mm-hmm.
That have been passed down over the generations.
To who?
To you and your children. Mm-hmm. And to your grands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I learned a lot from that. Land owning, if you own it, is better than renting it, sharecropping, farming on halves, any other reason, if you own it. But I have to be sort of cautious about what you are asking me, because when the government is involved in a lot of these programs, it's unjust.
Mm-hmm.
It's unjust.
You're right.
And the reason I say this, because I know people from way back wouldn't even fool with the government in no way, form, or fashion, because they didn't trust them. And the reason they didn't trust them, because there's so many crooks in the leadership.
You're right.
You understand?
I'm
telling you what I have learned. You asked the question, and I'm telling you what I have learned. Not only that, but it is continuing even today and further up. You still got them in these offices all around. And I don't own but just a little here, but I have to be careful even talking to you.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay.
Well, this concludes our interview, and I'd like to thank you so much for helping me out with my project.
I hope I'll help you now.
Oh, you help me out. Yep. All right. This is Brittany Owens signing off.